This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This past Tuesday, people in different parts of the world, but especially in New Orleans, celebrated what is known as Fat Tuesday, where they go out and party and do all kinds of things. Because the next day is Ash Wednesday, which starts the period of Lent, where many people fast or pray or give up something for in preparation for the celebration of the memory of the death, burial, and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to ask today, should Christians fast? Is this just a Catholic thing? And of course, you know, one of the things that's common that you see common is that Catholics will fast one day a week, but they don't really fast many times. Many times they still eat food. They just don't eat what is what they call meat or red meat. They actually eat fish that day. And that's one reason you'll see different places having fish fries on Friday, because to accommodate the Catholics that don't want to eat meat or are fasting from red meat that day. So we're going to just start talking about fasting and just ask the question, should Christians fast? Is this just a Catholic thing? And should fasting be done just during this period of time, during Lent, or should it be, is it something that we should actually do on a more regular basis, or not necessarily based on a certain time? Is it something that we should do? And we're going to look at the Bible for the answers. And we're probably not going to, definitely in this sermon, not going to cover everything there is to cover concerning fasting. But this is something that we definitely will be covering in later sermons as well. But as we look at and as we explore this topic, should we fast? We first, again, look at the Bible and we go to the words of Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, we read, "Moreover," this is the words of Jesus, "moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Now, you know, they're really, I don't think Jesus was really disparaging, putting on sackcloth or ashes or anything like that, because there are many times in the Bible, and you can read about these. We'll read about these, maybe not today, but in future sermon series or future sermons on this topic, we'll read about some of the times, and we have read about some of the times where there was a call for national fasting and prayer. And there was humiliation. You can even look at the story of Jonah. You know, Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh to preach and call them to repent. But he didn't want to go because he knew that God was merciful. And then if they actually listened to what he said and repented, that God would have mercy on them. And Nineveh was a wicked city, and they weren't a part of Israel. Jonah wanted God's judgment. And he knew that if he went there and called them unto repentance, that they might listen and they might repent, and that they would actually, that God would actually have mercy on them. Imagine that, a preacher that was afraid of preaching the word of God to people that were sinners that needed to repent, because he was afraid that they would, if they repented, that God would have mercy on them. That obviously was the wrong attitude for Jonah to have. But the people of Nineveh did repent, and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. And there are many other examples throughout the Bible of people that repented in sackcloth and ashes. But one of the things that you see in the Old Testament and the New Testament is that there's a difference in the heart. And God is really concerned about what your heart is. And what was happening at the time that Jesus was speaking is that there were a lot of people that were pious and that were holier than thou, so to speak. They wanted to live right, and they wanted to live right outwardly, and they wanted everyone to know that they were doing so. In fact, when they fasted, they didn't just want to fast, but they wanted to actually do so in such a way that other people would look at them and see how holy they were and how righteous they were and how much they were loving God and serving him. And so you see this, this was happening in that time, and Jesus really talked about a lot of the hypocrisy that was going on and the things that were being done for show, and the things that were being done so that people could see how holy and how righteous you are. Now, I will say this, that if you ever have fasted, and you know, if you're just fasting from, let's say, red meat on Friday, you can probably, you know, get away with hanging out with people, going out to eat, because you're going to be able to go somewhere where they're going to have fish, most likely, because a lot of the population, especially the Catholics, will eat just fish on Friday. If you're totally fasting, let's say you're not eating any food that day, and someone wants to go out to eat with you, or wants to invite you out to eat, or wants you to invite you to their house to have something to eat, or it's very difficult to fast without telling people that you're fasting. So I don't think that Jesus really, and I've tried to not tell people I'm fasting sometimes, when people would offer me food or want to go out to eat or something like that. It's very, very difficult. And it's very awkward to go out to eat with someone while you are fasting and you're just sitting there and they're eating and they're wondering, well, why aren't you eating? And, you know, is something wrong with you? Can you not afford the food, or what is going on here? But that's something that, you know, Jesus really is talking about the heart. He's really talking about not doing this so that people could actually look at you and see, wow, you know, this person's righteous, this person's holy. You know, I mean, the Pharisees would kind of like, you know, when they would go to give alms, you know, Jesus talked about this too, that they would, you know, they would want to announce, hey, here I am, I'm giving my money, you know, everyone watch, everyone look, see how righteous I am. And so, you know, this is really the culture that he was combating here. And he's really saying, you know, just do this for God. Don't do it so that other people can look at you and see how righteous and holy you are, but do it so that you can be closer to God, and so that God can work in your life. But notice this right at the beginning of this verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, Jesus didn't say if you fast. He didn't say if you decide to fast. He didn't say when you fast during the Lenten season. He just simply said when you fast. That this was actually a assumption that his followers would fast, that his followers would actually spend time, they would actually take time where they would spend time fasting and praying. And there's something about doing that, about taking, our bodies need food. And in fact, most people can live for 80 to 90 days without food. They might be able to live a little bit longer without food, but we all need food. Water is even more difficult if you were wanting to fast food and water. And you do see in the Bible, Moses actually fasted for 40 days and 40 nights where he ate no food and drank no water. Now, that's actually biologically impossible to do. It had to be a miracle. And he then met with God for a day. The Bible doesn't say whether he fasted that day or ate that day. But after that day, he went another 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. And that was just supernatural. Really, most people have a risk of starting to go insane after 3 days of no water. But most people can live without food, but we need food to live, and our bodies hunger, our bodies need to be nourished. And so there's something that's special about saying God is more important to me than even my biological needs. Even my body is not as important to me as God is to me. And the desires of my flesh, of my body, are not as important as serving God. And there was actually, when I was a child, and I remember this from hearing about it quite a bit, but I did witness some of it, but there were some churches in Fort Pierce that previously hadn't liked each other too much, that got together and started having some interfaith services. And God just broke out and had a revival. My dad was a part of that at Palm Vista Church of God, and then also Palm Vista's school, where he would actually try to have a class, and the people would just start weeping and repenting before God. And God was moving on their hearts. And quite a few of the students would actually go, would be found in the chapel praying instead of eating their lunch. And you know how kids, teenagers, can eat, and they really love to eat. But God was just moving, and there was something special that was happening. And there's something that's special that can happen in your life if you dedicate, if you're willing to say, I'm going to give something up for God. I'm not going to eat food. And there's different types of fasting. We'll talk about that more. You know, it's not just not eating food or giving up red meat on Fridays at a certain time of the year. There's different ways of fasting. But I believe that really you should seek God and ask God how he would want you to fast. And also that you would allow God to show you and direct you how you should fast, because and how often you should fast. And I personally believe that it's important to fast on a regular basis, not just at a certain time of the year. But the important thing from this is that Jesus said when you fast, not if you fast or not if you decide to fast, but when you fast. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God expects you to give up something for him and to use whatever time you used for that purpose in praying and seeking God and watch and see what God can do in your life when you do that. Jesus also in Matthew chapter 17, this is the next chapter, Matthew 17 verses 14 through 21, we read this, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. So Imagine this. This man brings his child. He's already brought his child to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't hear, couldn't help him. And he then brings him to Jesus. So you realize this father is desperate. This father wants his son to be set free, and he has brought them to his disciples, but he's so desperate that even when that didn't work, he didn't give up. He wasn't discouraged. He had faith that Jesus could set his son free. And Jesus' response is not just, well, you know, they're just learning. They'll get there, but they're not quite there yet. No, Jesus says, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Now, just think about this for a minute and apply this to your life. You're a disciple. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, you are a Christian. You are a follower of him. You are supposed to be his disciple. And Jesus expects you. In fact, Jesus said the same works that he did, you should do, because he went to the Father who is in heaven. So Jesus would say the same thing to us today. If we had someone in our midst who was demon-possessed or who was afflicted, and we couldn't pray for that person, and we couldn't see God set them free, he would say the same to us. "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" And he says, "Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a seed, as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting." Now, he's talking about here a faith that actually grows, because a mustard seed was a very small seed. And in another passage, Jesus actually talks about the mustard seed and says that the mustard seed is small, but when it is planted and sprouts and nurtured, it can become a large tree. So, and that's really the way our faith is supposed to be. You may not be in a situation, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, may not be in a situation where you believe, where you have faith that God can set someone free through you, or where God can heal someone through you, or where God can use you to cast demons out of someone. But let me tell you something. Jesus said here that our faith should be growing. Our faith should be getting bigger. You should be confessing. You should be reading the Bible and believing that God can do those things through you, and praying that God would work through you to touch someone else. And you should be spending time on a regular basis in prayer and in fasting. Fasting from something. Again, it could be food, it could be entertainment, it could be something else. But fasting, setting aside something that's valuable to you and spending that time instead in prayer and fasting. And this is so important, and this is something that really you'll never get to that place if you don't start, if you don't believe, if you don't have faith. And what does the Bible say in Hebrews? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do you have faith that God can do something through you, that God can heal someone through you? You know, it's not just the pastors that are supposed to be someone that can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. God wants for everyone that is his disciple, everyone that's his child, to have faith so that they can pray for someone and see that person recover. And also so that demons can be cast out. You know, when I was actually a missionary to the preborn, And I would sit in front of the doors of abortion clinics, and the police officers would arrest me and take me to jail. I've actually spent about 3 years of my life, not at once, but about, total of about 3 years in jail. The longest time I spent was I was in for 4 days, out for a few days, and back in for the remainder of 16 months. And during that time, I was at one point of that incarceration, I was in the Milwaukee City Jail. And there was a man there in our dormitory that was demon possessed. And the guards didn't know what to do with him. And the people there didn't know what to do with him. And of course, what can they do? Well, they can drug him up. They can medicate him so that he doesn't really know who he is, and he's not able to function properly, and then would be harmless. They can take him to solitary confinement. But the guards knew that I was a Christian, and they locked everyone in their cell except for me and this man. And I prayed with this man, and I pled with God, and it wasn't instantaneous. It actually took several hours. I think they actually even let us out for either lunch or supper in the meantime. And I was talking to my parents on the phone and just getting advice from them, and you know, just praying and crying out to God. And before that time was over, that man was set free from those demons. He was throwing up green. It was just, you know, as the demons were coming out of him. But God has given each and every one of us authority over demon spirits. And this is something that you can see in your life as well. And it's something that when I was a teenager, I used to be afraid of. I used to be afraid of, you know, demons and the devil and this type of thing. And, you know, certainly we should respect the power of the devil, but we should be praying. We should be fasting. We should be believing God so that God can do a work in us, so that then he can then do a work through us, so that if you do encounter someone who is demon possessed and you're the Christian that's called upon, that you can actually, maybe you don't know everything to say, maybe you don't know everything to do, but you can pray, you can plead on behalf of that person, and God can set them free. This was prayer and fasting is something that was so important to your life as a Christian that Jesus, even who was God himself, he was fully God and fully man. When he was here on the earth, he did spend time, regular time in prayer and fasting, including at the beginning of his ministry, before his ministry even started, he was baptized with water by John, and there was a dove that descended. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we read in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, then Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he had been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. So Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you know, again, we talked about different ways of fasting. We'll get into that more later. But, you know, this was a 40-day, 40-night fast, and Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and you would imagine that when this is over, you'd be hungry. Well, the devil, actually, and you would be perhaps weak and more willing to give in to temptation, and so the devil actually came to him and tempted him, and you can read in those passages, those verses, but right after verse 2, about the devil's witness there, and the devil coming to Jesus and actually tempting him. And then what you see, though, in verse 13, Jesus actually used the word of God, and he defeated every temptation that the devil brought to him. And then in verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So, you know, the devil may leave you for a little bit, but, you know, if the devil leaves you, know that he's probably going to come back. He's going to look for an opportune time where he can tempt you, where he can test you, where he can try you, where he can give you some difficulty, where he can try to see if you'll bow or you'll cave in. So just know that, you know, the devil left Jesus until an opportune time. Then Jesus, in verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So you notice that when he was baptized in water and then baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's where we see him in verse 1. But after he had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights, something changed, and he wasn't just filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when we pray, when we fast, when we pray, when we set aside time to actually show that God is more important than our desires. God is more important than the things that we want, the things that we long for. And we've talked a lot today about believers, but I also want to just reach out to those who are unbelievers. Maybe you've gone to church, maybe you've even fasted, maybe you've even participated in Lent, and maybe you're trying to even earn your salvation. Just to know, you need to know that there is no way that you can earn your salvation. You need to repent of your sins and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is what God calls for us, and this is what God wants for you and for each and every one of us. But as you do come to Christ, and for those who have come to Christ, know the words of Jesus when you fast. We'll talk about this more later, but just know that you should be fasting sometime. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.